God's word today, John chapter 17, verses 14 to 19. Chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. God is the Holy One. God is the Holy One. God is the Holy One. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, and various other places, it mentions that God is holy. And this is recorded throughout the Bible. And there is no other being or other God holy like him. He is the Holy One. No one with such type of glory and power and majesty. And he is the Holy One, the Holy God. And because he is holy, whatever he promises, he surely keeps. In Psalms chapter 89:35, it mentions that he keeps his promises. Our faith is to believe that my soul has been made holy by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? That my soul has been made holy by Jesus Christ? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That is our faith, to believe that. And so the life of faith, therefore, is to strive to live, to complete this holiness, to perfect holiness. So we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have been made holy, but it does not just end there. It does not just end with believing, but there must be a faith life, which is to, in order to perfect holiness, to achieve this holiness, we strive to become holy. In other words, it is to put on a new self. So in body and spirit, we are purifying ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit. So we purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, and this is what faith life is. So why are we emphasizing on holiness? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12:14, it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if you have lost this holiness, you cannot meet God. Even in this worship service, you cannot meet him. And certainly you won't be able to go to heaven either. So what does the Bible record? It records the holiness of God. So the Bible is a book that is written of the holiness of God. So let's say holy. In Hebrew, it's kadosh. And in English, it means, it has the meaning of being cut apart, to be separated, that you are distinguishing. Like when you chop wood and it's cut in half, it is separated and absolutely different than before. So holiness means it is cut apart, set apart. And it means that it can be differentiated, that it's different. So holiness means to be set apart, but also to be completely different. When the Exodus occurred, there was a reason. God did not call his people because they were in agony and he felt bad for them. He was doing the work of setting apart, of distinguishing and making a separation to keep a promise of his that foretold that they would be slaves and foreigners versus those who did not have this such covenant. So this separation occurred during the Exodus. As mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41, It says, I will accept you as fragrant incense when I bring you out from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be proved holy through you in the sight of the nations. So it's to show his holiness to many nations, to reveal his holiness. And that was also the reason behind recording this in the Bible, including the Exodus out of Egypt. It was to reveal and show his glory, his holiness. And from beginning to end, this is the main theme. And everything he did was to reveal his glory, to reveal that we have to live a holy life set apart. So in the middle of the night, as they experienced plague after plague, and after the last one, which was the death of every firstborn, including those of animals, they all died. And the only way to survive was by the promise that he would spare you if you place the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. So as the angel of death was killing the firstborn, he passed over those with the blood to pass over. So while phonetically it's pronounced the same as June in Korean, Yuwal, but it means to pass over, to jump over. So that night, any house with the blood was passed over and was separated from death and despair. They were set apart and they were differentiated from the Egyptians. And so they were saved. And after they were freed, and after that, they were led out to the Red Sea, and they were wailing as they thought they would be destroyed. But in the end, the sea parted and they crossed over on dry land. They crossed over on dry land. So the Egyptians in their chariots were in hot pursuit and followed the Israelites. But we see how the sea engulfed them and swallowed them all up. So we see here that the Israelites and the foreigners were distinguished. They were separated. The Israelites then entered the wilderness, and they heard what the Lord Jehovah said, and they were called God's holy people, the holy people of God. They were completely differentiated from the rest of the people in the world, and they were given the law to keep, and it was the law of Moses. And in other words, it was a holy commandment, a holy law, in that they needed to be holy, and that is why it was given, that they were to be holy. And how were they to be holy? They needed to keep his commands, decrees, and laws in order to be holy. So first, they have been differentiated, set apart as the holy people of God. And to go on, to proceed, they had to keep his command. And until the end, they'll know that he is the Lord God Jehovah that sanctifies them, that keeps them holy. So how is this holiness and sanctification different? So they were given the power of the blood that spared them from death, and they came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and were now given the command that they would need to submit to and obey so that they be called sanctified. And this was the pathway opened for them to enter the promised land. And if they did not keep it, then it didn't matter if they were spared during the Passover, but they were to keep, to continue this process of sanctification. And therefore, of the 613 points to the law they received, the hardest to keep was the command of Sabbath. For the Sabbath day was considered holy and the day of the Lord Jehovah, and it could not be compared to any other day of the week. So I will keep you holy. Do not forget about me, Lord Jehovah. And if you do not keep the Sabbath, you would be put to death. So if they did not keep the Sabbath, they were to be put to death. And this was repeated multiple times. So the Lord Jehovah and the holy people, the sign and the seal of the promise that they were his people was by keeping the Sabbath. And if they did not keep the Sabbath, then they were not considered the holy people of Jehovah. And they were also given the instruction to build the sanctuary, the holy dwelling place. And that is where the name of the Lord Jehovah was placed, in the ark and within the most holy place. The priests were also called, and not just anyone could be appointed, but they had to come from the tribe of the Levites and from the family of Aaron. And we see in the history of the Levite tribe, there was a family of Korah who rebelled and complained that they were also Levites and wanted to serve the Lord. But we see that God destroyed them. They were engulfed and swallowed up by the earth, because if God appoints someone to be holy, then they will be holy. And according to the command, they can be kept in the sanctified state. Also, there were the offerings, which were to be spotless. He would not accept any offering, but they were to be spotless, flawless. If it was a calf, then it should never be yoked in its life. And the bull to be offered must also never have been placed in a yoke. For if it was yoked, then it has already been used for other purposes, therefore not set apart. So the bull needed to be spotless and not used for other purposes ever. And that was how important it is to distinguish the offerings presented to the Lord. And anything unclean, especially those with an unclean illness or sickness, like being leprous or anything that touches the lepers, this uncleanliness can be transferred. So anyone that came in contact with such disease would also be considered unclean. So the high priest would command them to be cast out of the tent, the courts. And this was to show they were distinguished and differentiated from the clean from the unclean. And there were also unclean foods. So today we're focusing a lot about the clean and unclean, about the holy and sanctified. And we are to have a clearer understanding of this importance. So speaking of food, it was confusing as there were so many regulations on the dietary laws that if you ate something unclean, you were to be put to death, as it was unclean. Also, what was considered unclean were foreigners. Therefore, they were to never mix with them, nor were they to enter the holy sanctuary, or they would defile it. So anyone ill or sick could not approach it, and that was to show this work of setting apart, of separation. So who was Moses? When we think of him, he's holy, holy, and holy. He did so many things, but why was he forbidden from entering the land of Canaan? Why was he not able to? Was it because he died of old age? No, that's not the reason. Numbers chapter 20 records what happened. So the people of Israel were complaining about water, and so God said to Moses to speak to the rock before their eyes, and it would pour out its water. But Moses was a man dealing with such ungrateful people. And so he was very upset with them. So instead, he said, "You think I will give you water?" And he struck the rock twice. And so the water did come out, but this was not what God commanded. And while the water did come out, God made it clear, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. So because he did not display his holiness, he was not able to enter the promised land. So Moses and Aaron did not make it there. So they didn't go to the promised land. And doesn't this seem too much? For the past 40 years, they served the Lord, but this one instance, they showed their temper and did not do as instructed. And for that, they could not enter the promised land because of this one thing. Therefore, we need to focus on this promise that without holiness, you will not be able to see the Lord. So Moses, because of this one thing, he didn't rebel against God. He just showed his temper, and that caused him to lose his promise. Eventually, the Israelites, they entered the promised land, and it was the next generation. And we see how they rose and also how they fell. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 26 to 31. Ezekiel chapter 22. "Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them." So the priests and the people and the prophets, they did not display the holiness of God, and that is why nobody was considered to be holy, and there was no use for this kingdom to continue on, and that is why they were brought to destruction. So they were considered holy people in the beginning, but they did not keep the commands of the Lord Jehovah. And that is why the holiness was stripped away from them, and they were not able to enter the promised land. As history continued, we see throughout their history that they were in captivity, and mixed with foreigners, and they lost their sovereignty and taken as captives and were enslaved. And they also interracially mixed and were no longer the pure line of Israel. And when they returned and lived in the midst of Jerusalem before the temple, they had hope that God would return and restore their nation. And so that is why they lived centered around the temple. Now it was time for the Son of God to come, Jesus, Yeshua. He appeared before the temple. He needed to appear before the temple of Jerusalem. And what was placed there? It is the holy dwelling place that has the name of God, and that is why he needed to be there. And before this very temple, he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." So this declaration was truly defiling the holiness of God, and this was the boldest declaration against God's holiness, to destroy this temple. So it had a huge impact and shock against the Israelites. But Jesus didn't just stop there, but he said that if you destroy this temple, he would raise it again in 3 days. For him to say destroy this temple was already blasphemy, but to say that he would raise it again, it was only adding to their shock and their anger. But he was referring to the temple of his body. So the temple of his body. So the Lord Jehovah, through the law, brought the people of Israel to holiness and did this work of differentiating them by giving the law and the commandments so that they be sanctified, that they can maintain this sanctified state. So when they came out of Egypt, they were called to be the holy people of God. And how did they maintain this state? It was by keeping the law that they continue this process of sanctification. But was it possible? It was impossible to keep sanctified life. And why is that? It was written in Romans that their body is weak. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So what is the requirement of the law? The requirement of the law, it was to be holy. The requirement of the law was to be holy, and this was the command given. But the Israelites could not be holy. It was impossible, for their flesh was weak, and there was so many do nots, and even if they broke one, they were considered out, they were considered sinners. But God, it says here, but God brought his, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. They could not keep the law to be sanctified, and God already knew this, and that is why he had a plan to send his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. It does not mean that he sinned, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came as man, so that the sin be absorbed onto his body, transferred all the sin of mankind onto his flesh, so that he can resolve this holiness and fulfill and perfect this holiness. And how? He came as the truth. Yeshua, the truth. So Jehovah, the law. Yeshua, the truth. Jehovah, the law. Yeshua, the truth. So through the law, the big realization is that you are weak in the flesh and you are a sinner, so it's impossible to keep it. But God would make it possible by Jesus and by the Spirit who lives according to the Spirit. So in order that righteous requirement of the law be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, the righteous requirement of the law will be fully met in us. So those of you who know that you are a spirit, say amen. I am a spirit. I am a spirit. A spirit that knows Jesus Christ is the truth. If so, then if you know you are a spirit, then you can freely keep this command and be brought to holiness and display this holiness and make it to holiness. Now, Jesus Christ coming in as man, everyone thought he was just a man. Maybe he was extraordinary as he had in character and in powers. But he came to a demon-possessed man, and the demon said, I know who you are. You are the Son of God, and you are the Holy One. That you are the Son of One, that you are the Holy One. You are the Son of God, and you are the Holy One. So no other prophet was able to recognize this. There was no priest who knew this, but this demon-possessed man knew. How unclean spirits do not have flesh, and as they are spiritual beings, they can see other spiritual beings. So this demon-possessed man had these demons who said, I know who you are. So when he revealed his unclean spirit, he said, what do we have to do with you? What do you want from us? There is nothing between us. Why? Who are unclean spirits? So unclean spirits, why are they unclean? It is because they are spirits with sin, an unclean spirit, unclean spirit. So unclean and holy cannot coexist. So this unclean spirit, he was actually quite smart. So the unclean spirits were going to all different places and vessels, and all of a sudden they happened to meet Jesus. And he revealed, Jesus, you are the Holy One. In other words, uncleanliness has nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with Jesus, for he is the Son of God. But he came as the Son of Man in the likeness of sinful flesh, of sinful man. And that is why he is here. And the reason why he came in the flesh was so that onto his flesh, onto his body, he would absorb the sins of mankind and die. Do you understand? So when he referred to himself as the Son of God, they were amazed and surprised he could say such things. As a sinner, how is he able to say such things is what they thought. But Jesus said, the Father God made him sanctified and holy and sends Jesus to the world. That the Father sanctifies him, the one who sent him to the world is the Holy God. So when Jesus Christ came to the world, he, through the body of Mary, he was born. But it was not of the union between man and woman. For he came as the Son of God, for in essence he is God, and there is no change in his essence. In John chapter 17, verses 14 to 19, as we read, it says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So when Jesus gave the word of the Father to the disciples, it says the world hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So he gave the word of the Father, and so the disciples were not of the world. So the world keeps you separate from the world. So the word and the world cannot be united as one. They cannot coexist. So if you receive the word, then you are already separated, differentiated. So today you are here and you receive the word, and then you go home and turn on the TV and watch these dramas. Are these people who have received the word? If you have received the word, is that something you will do? So it is not a laughing matter. So why was the Son of God given to us? It's so that we can be differentiated from the world, be set apart from the world. Do you understand? My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So the world, is evil. The world, evil. So would he leave your spirits to in the world? No, he is going to leave his souls. God's going to leave his souls, but Jesus is praying to keep them to be holy and sanctified, to protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The truth. The truth. The truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And also the words of Jesus are the truth. The words of the Father are truth. I mentioned John chapter 17, And 14 verse 6, the words of the Father are truth. So Jesus spoke the words of the Father, and the words that he spoke are truth, and the truth alone can keep a soul sanctified. Now Jesus, delivering this word in detail, was saying, Father, Father, I am already calling my disciples out of this world, and they are being persecuted and hated. And when you look at this, they are not part of this world. And I plead you, Father, that they are part of me, that they are already being persecuted, and I want you to protect them from evil. And pray for them that they can be sanctified by the truth. Your words are truth. But just as you have sent me to the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. That as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too. So for them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So in order to truly sanctify them, that there is a certain order to proceed with. And what is that order? What needs to happen? That Jesus needs to die and shed his blood. And as Jesus died, he was led to his death, and he died on the cross, and he said, it is finished. It is finished. And the moment that he said this, that is when the veil in the temple tore. So the moment it tore in the temple, so in the temple there was the holy place and the most holy place, and the name of the Lord Jehovah God that was placed within the Ark of the Covenant. And even the high priest could not enter the most holy place without blood. So no one could step foot in the most holy place, even if you were a high priest, but it was only by the blood. So the only entry allowed once a year was by the high priest, and it was with the blood. So the moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil in the temple tore, and it is as if the high priest enters the most holy place and sprinkles the blood. And by sprinkling his blood, therefore, there is no more reason for this type of sacrifice and service. And it's described in Hebrews chapter 9 and other places. So the moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, so it's no longer a limited space like the Temple of Jerusalem. But now it is the place which is sprinkled by his blood is where he goes. So Jesus, he followed the command of the Father and died according to his commands. And as it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your words are truth. By obeying the command of the Father, through his death, he revealed his holiness. So from the beginning, he is God, the holy God, and he came as man into this world. And God, so he is the Son of God, but as he came in the likeness of the flesh, likeness of sinful man, when he died on the cross is when he proved that he is sanctified, that he perfected holiness by fulfilling the command to die on the cross. So by fulfilling the function of the Son of Man and by shedding his blood, so, Father, your word is the truth, and according to your commands, I am dying. And he's asking the Father God to consider him holy. He was acknowledged as completely holy. Amen. Is there anyone else who can explain it to this point? So through his death, so the origin of sin was condemned. So what was unclean to you? Unclean origin of sin was condemned, and by his death, he paid the price of all men's sins and redeemed all mankind. And he paid the ransom with his blood. And where did he sprinkle his blood? To the spirits of all mankind. He sprinkled his blood. And why? For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, as recorded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So by the blood of Jesus are the souls of all mankind who have received the blood and are being made holy. So it doesn't matter where you came from. If you receive the blood, you are sanctified, you are made holy. And then he was crucified and died and resurrected. He ascended to heaven, and that is the holy city, the Father's house in heaven. The holy city, he is seated there on the throne, and before the throne, there is a vast army, the legions of tens of thousands of angels, and all these creatures, from their lips, are singing and shouting, "The Lord God Almighty is holy, holy, holy." In the spiritual realm, in the spiritual heaven, in the holy city, there's only sounds of worship and declaration of the holiness of God. And from there, some days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He is the spirit that descends from the spiritual heaven. He came to this world. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in a holy place, a holy dwelling place. And where did he come from? The holy city. And from there, he's not just going to go anywhere, but it's to those that have the blood of Jesus, those made holy by his blood. So if you have received the Holy Spirit, say amen. So is this your confession that your spirit has been made holy by the blood of Jesus? For you have the blood of Jesus, my soul is made holy. My soul is different from the world, set apart from the world. So all the things of this world are not holy nor sanctified. It does not matter if they've lived the life of a monk who didn't commit a single bad thing. They are not holy. But only those who have received the blood of Jesus into their souls are made holy. Amen. Hallelujah. I am made holy. But then we have to follow with action to perfect holiness. To perfect holiness. To put on the new self. So I said this before, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. So we have to purify ourselves from the uncleanliness of the flesh and spirit. And the period in which we do this is called the Christian life. It's the time in which we are, the spirit is still in the flesh. So this is a time in which we purify ourselves. And so the time where we maintain the sanctified state and reveal ourselves as holy. So we declare we are Christians. In other words, we have the blood of Jesus and are a soul made holy. So we have a destination, and that's our goal. It is the holy city, the new Jerusalem. But beyond this universe is the spiritual heaven. The holy city is just glorious, and not just anyone can enter. So back then, my pastor was filled with grace, with so much grace, and he had been praying And he came to repentance. For 7 or 8 hours, he prayed by himself. He kept praying, and the moment he opened his eyes. So first he repented and received grace, and when he opened his eyes, he saw the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, but that city did not have any gates or doors. But people were entering with their white linen clothing, and he said he could not go in. That he couldn't allow himself to go in, as he felt so unclean and foul and dirty. And this was his testimony after he prayed in tongues for more than 8 hours. And I believe that there may be no gate or door, but if you are not holy and sanctified, you will not be able to enter. So our goal is to make it to the holy city. So if your purpose is holy, then we have to use methods that are holy. We have a purpose unlike others in the world. I am a soul that has the blood of Jesus, and we have a certain goal, purpose to enter the holy city. And there is only one way. And sanctify them by their truth. Your words are truth. So if you are not sanctified by the word, and if you do not live by the word of the Father, then you cannot make it to the Father's house. And that is why, once again, as we have discussed, it's through the word of truth that you become sanctified. And put a bit differently, in Ephesians 5:26, it says, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And then in Titus chapter 3:5, it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So washing of regeneration, that you become a new person, a new being by this washing of regeneration. And if you don't, and you're still in your old habits, but coming to church to get baptized and to receive grace, that is not going to work. You have to transform 100%. And be regenerated, put on a new self. So when we look at this, we see whether our lifestyle is really following this path in accordance to it. And in order to live like this, we have to live this faith life. So we do not call this day Sunday, but we call it the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. It's not my day, but it is a holy day. It's not my day or of the world, but it is the holy day of the Lord God. So do you remember what happened if you did not keep the Sabbath? They were put to death. So we are calling this the Lord's Day. In the Old Testament, you were put to death, but now in this era we live, if we do not keep it, then our spirit will be put to death. So in the Old Testament, the law of Moses was the law for the death of the flesh. If they did not keep the law, it was death of the flesh. But the new law is for the soul. So the soul will be put to death if not kept. So to get married, and there's no other great companion that fits. There are these elders' daughters who get married to Buddhist monks. And they are many wealthy monks. They have a lot of real estate. So when it comes to getting married, because of financial gain, even pastors' kids get married to these Buddhist monks. And this happens because they do not know what holiness is. In the Old Testament, they were not to mix with Gentiles. And it's the same today, as you don't mix and match like as such. So even in the workplace, you need to determine if a man of faith can perform such tasks. It is like physical labor. It's considered to be okay as long as it does not taint or diminish your faith and spiritual state. But otherwise, it's better to starve to death than to work there. And there was a young man who was really spirit-filled. He was all hallelujah and was zealous. And he had a master's, but there was nothing he could really... he couldn't find a job, and so he was thinking if he should go to scrub other people's... for body scrubbing. And when asked, "Why do you want to be a scrubber?" he replied that Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and that is why he wanted to become one. But I told him, don't make your own excuse or story, but if you are going to be living as a holy Christian, as a holy person, even if it is hard, work at something where you will not contaminate this state of holiness. That I'm not diminishing this profession, but people are naked and everyone's naked in this sort of occupation. So if you are holy and sanctified, you must seriously think of what your profession should be and if it will be considered holy. And the Bible says you are not to be yoked with the world, but the problem we now see is that with social media platforms and smart technology in this world today, it is by far the most lethally deadly tool to just contaminate the body and soul together. That you can see anything and anyone on these social platforms. So how do we protect our souls and stay sanctified and protect the holiness of my soul? You have to have discipline and control, or it's just destruction. Then what is the use? And yes, it may be useful for information, and I pray that I'm only exposed to helpful information that is useful to my sermons and others' faith. So that's why I use it, but it leads me to fall all over the place. So just like you start at one point, you end up in a totally different place. It is hard, and so you need to discipline yourself and know where to draw the line and to really restrict yourself. And not only that, your attire. What do you wear? You must dress like a person of faith. And in the Bible, it refers to the woman's attire and dress code. They are not to adorn themselves with all sorts of jewelry to be holy, as it was in the Old Testament. So like that, there is a proper attire for believers, for faithful believers. Even in the hottest weather of summer, you cannot be exposing yourself with short shorts or mini skirts. Rather, you are contaminated. If it is an attire that contaminates your sanctified state, then ought not to wear it. And you need to refrain from it. So what is the fine line? We need to know and be aware and keep it and be able to separate, to be set apart and differentiate holiness and uncleanliness, sacred and secular. So what does God allow and what does God disapprove? So where does God draw the line as to what he allows? They're cut off, like you have nothing to do with God anymore. So we must be able to differentiate, or we can be cut off. So then how will we live and lead a sanctified life to guide us to the Father's house? We can look at the tabernacle as it was a model of how we live. So look at the example of the temple as it's a model of how we can live in holiness. So the moment you enter the court, you see the altar and what's on there. There are the sacrifices and there's blood. And you pass that and you see the water basin and it's filled with water. And when the priest sees that, he sees that and they need to wash. So that is the courts where the Levites and priests and even sinners who come to give sacrifice, they can enter there. So the world is intermingling in this area. But now you enter the temple and it's the holy place and only the priest can enter there. And that is where the serving starts. As the priest, only the priest enters the holy place. But we see the sons of Aaron, they died entering the holy place. And how did they die? They did not offer the right fire. It's unauthorized fire they offered, and so they were put to death. Because they served with unauthorized fire, they were put to death. That's what the priest was to do from the altar, and it was brought to the holy place and to light the menorah, the lampstands. Also the incense altar, the incense was lit with that fire, and also the menorah, the lampstands. And even if you were called to be a priest to give these sacrifices, to be part of the service, if it's done otherwise, you will be put to death. So it's better for that person to not enter the holy place as they would be put to death. And though they wanted to serve, but because it was not according to the instruction, according to the way of the Lord, it became unauthorized fire. So we spoke about what holy means, which is to be completely separate, to be completely different. When God considers one thing holy, it has to be different from others. If you did not use authorized fire and it was not by the command of the Father, then you are put to death. And you will die and you cannot proceed. They cannot go on further. Even if you are the most holy priest, if you do not do according to the commands, according to the procedures, then you cannot go on further. So can the high priest enter the most holy place with unauthorized methods? No. In the most holy place where the Father God reveals himself upon the mercy seat, the word of God needs to enter your soul, and you have to enter the most holy place to receive it. In Hebrews chapter 10:19, it says, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." If you have the blood of Jesus, say amen. So we are here to worship. We are in the sanctuary, and he welcomes and meets us. But if we want to advance further, we cannot give unauthorized fire. So what is the differentiation between holy and unholy? So we have to differentiate that if you burn unauthorized fire, he will not receive it, and your spirit is dead. Though your body may be alive, your soul is dead. So you cannot dismiss the methods, the procedures. So then what must we do? So you have to pass the water basin. Even if you have the confidence of the blood, you have to pass the water basin. So we have to have this picture. After the altar, we've been given the power of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to get confidence by his name. But what needs to be done now? You have to pass the water basin. Amen. And what do you do there? You wash yourself. That in the water basin, you have to wash in it, meaning repent of your sins. The past week, the sins that you have committed, the mistakes, you with contrite and broken heart, you repent. But if you do not pray, you do not repent, and you are just sitting here, is there truly going to be holiness here? Are you going to advance? And is God going to accept your service, your worship? So when does the service, when does it start? The moment you enter the temple is when it starts. There is a table of showbread and incense altar. These are part of the service, and you cannot proceed if you just skip it. But you must go according to the procedures for him to accept. So why is your faith not growing? You must think about it. If you skip the process of repentance, you need to beat yourself and have a contrite heart and repent. So everyone knows of the story of Balaam. In Numbers chapter 22, there was a prophet named Balaam. And this prophet was approached one day by an enemy nation, and the messenger said that we're asking for your favor as you are a prophet. And they asked Balaam to curse the people of Israel. But the prophet already knew the Israelites were people blessed by God. But he said, hold on, let me go pray, let me go ask. But God said that the people are to be blessed and can never be cursed, that you should not curse them. And that's all he said. Don't entertain or go with them and do not curse them. So he said, I'm not supposed to curse them or to follow you. So these messengers came back with more distinguished representatives, and they asked again for Balaam to curse the Israelites. He already knew, but he was like, I am going to pray about it. So we need to find these clues and how this may relate to us and how such things can lead to our destruction, that I'm going to pray about it. So with strong spiritual decision making, and the pastor says you're not to do it or guides you, and it should just be amen. But there are people who say, I will pray about it. After pastor's counseling, they say, I will pray about it. And that's just like Balaam. And we see that on his way, his donkey wouldn't move and crushed his foot, and he was beating the donkey for not moving. And the donkey rebuked him, saying, why are you beating me? Then why are you beating me? I see this angel of death about to strike you. The angel said, if this donkey did not stop you, I would have killed you by now and struck you down. So please read the story in the book of Numbers. And eventually what happened is he went there and he relayed the message of the Lord, and Balaam might have been spared, but it's a big question mark. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 16, it says, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So this describes what the prophet did was madness. That if God said, then he should have done as so, but he did not. So that's why it's described as madness. So being of this holy and uncleanliness, sacred and secular, there are people trying to compromise. They aren't put to death right away, but the crack has already been opened. Culture and the secular world, what is the fine line? What is accepted and what is not? What does God accept as holy And this is a daily concern for me every single day. So I am the head pastor and I guide this church and I have this responsibility to make decisions. And so there are denominations that do not use a single instrument and just sing with their voices. And compared to that, there's a lot of secular notions in the instruments. So before, our church didn't use these electrical instruments as it's frowned upon. They banned it. So to what point is this acceptable in the eyes of God? What is considered holy and what is considered not? What is secular and what is sacred? So I'm concerned myself with this and think about it all the time. So back in the days, they had the horns, the drums, and the lyres, but now they amplify the instruments with electricity. Is this secular, or could it be considered sacred or holy? So now people are gathering and I'm using the mic that amplifies my voice. So these are constant questions that enter my mind. Is God seeing this as secular or not? So with the amp, my voice can be heard in the back. And so in that respect, he would approve of it. And also, are the lyrics biblical? So what are these songs, the lyrics, are they biblical? Are they secular or sanctified? So anything that stimulates the body, the senses, it's far too dangerous and not acceptable. So then it's got allowing it to a certain point. So what's the fine line in our faith life and worship service? And what's this world asking for? So the pleasures of the eyes, the flesh, and in the life to the body and flesh, and the financial life, what we're doing in this world, what's the fine line? And we constantly have to ask ourselves and pray about. If anything hinders your spirit, you have to cut it off. You have to repent. And it's never too late. That if you repent and turn around with a broken and contrite heart, you repent because He is good and merciful. He will forgive. So we have to live a life that is struggling to maintain a holy, sanctified life. So there is a Korean saying which means the closer you grow to the world, you turn to it, that you will just fall in deeper and deeper. So where is the cutoff point? Where do you draw the line? So when someone has a nice car, you want to buy a car. And if you have a house, if you're renting, you want to buy a house, a bigger house. And it just gets worse and worse. And so where is the line that you need to draw? What is approved by God and what is not? So you must think about it. If you're living this life without holiness, then you will not be able to meet the Lord. So without holiness, you will not see the Lord. So through the blood of Jesus, we have been made holy, and we must live a sanctified life. So the words of the Father, the words of the Father are truth, and you must obey those words so that you will be considered sanctified. You'll be considered holy and maintained in a sanctification and finally make it to the holy city. And until then, you must continue to wash yourself. So daily you need to hear the word, and daily you must remain in it, and you reflect and you see yourself and examine if you are falling astray from it. Just like a mirror, If you are straying anywhere, you fall on your knees and you pray, Lord, please forgive the sinner. I still have this sinful nature. I am so unholy. I was part of this world, but I started my life anew with the blood of Jesus. Help me maintain until the end and help me hear the word, and may the word lead me to repentance.